Right. Thank you.
The cross of my of the love that never fled.
And this was one of the verses, and I said, if you get nothing else, remember this, seek the kingdom of God. I'm going to go to the next one.
Now we come to the Lord in prayer. We've come to worship you, O Lord. We're gathered in this place. We come to praise your holy name, to seek again your face. And Jesus, you have promised that when we gather in your name, you are in the midst of us, and this promise we now claim. We come today with many needs you, Lord, alone can meet. Through Jesus, we now come to you. We approach your mercy seat. And Jesus, you have promised that when we seek your face, our cry for mercy will be heard and we'll receive your grace. Yes, Lord, we come. We come eagerly to pray to you, to seek your presence, to seek your guidance. Lord, we face as a church a new beginning, and we pray, Lord, that you will guide us, and that you and you alone will be glorified through the steps that we must take in the future. We pray for peace in your world. We pray for all in authority. Give them your wisdom. We pray for all people in need. Lord, there are so many needs, but we bring all those people to you. We know that people are finding it hard in certain circumstances today. And we ask that you would help us all, that we might love each other, that we might help each other, that we might be there for those that need greater help than we do. Lord, may we be your servants in this world. Lord, we pray that you would be with us during the coming week. We pray for our families. We pray for our friends. We pray for all those that are on our minds at this time. Lord, we desperately seek your blessing because, Lord, we know it's all about you. None of us are indispensable. We serve you. We serve you in your name. And we serve you where the glory will be yours and yours alone. So, Lord, take us. Use us in whatever plan or path you choose, and may we honor you in all things. Lord, we know your gracious desire is that the name of Jesus should be proclaimed, that we should seek to find the lost. And as we seek them, we know that by the power of the Spirit, you will work through us. And Lord, we pray that in our ministry, both now and in the future, we will see others coming to know and to worship you. Lord, when we think of a new center, Lord, that center would mean nothing unless it was there for the extension of your kingdom and for your glory. So, Lord, will you be with us in the coming weeks and the coming months? May you be glorified in our individual lives. May you be glorified in us as a church, as a people of believers. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we bring our prayers today. In his name, amen.
So we know that we can come before the Lord's throne in confidence. So we're going to sing "Before the Throne of God." Thank you.
Now we come to the reading which Jean is going to share with us. Thank you, Jean.
Today's reading is taken from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. The prayer of faith. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins.
Shortly. Thank you.
Sir,
Couple of things to share with you before I come to the actual message itself. Next week, some of us will be at the Newton Abbott service of remembrance. Those of you who do not know, I am the chaplain for the British Legion in Newton Abbott, and so we'll be leading that service. It's a service that usually brings a couple of thousand people, and they've allowed me, after the Bible reading, to say a few comments about it. And the theme I've chosen is love and value your prayers. I'm supposed to do it in 3 minutes, but it's all ready, and I know that the Spirit will fill me, because without that I can't do it. But looking forward to it. But it means, here, you still have a meeting, of course. Financially, it's been paid for, so you haven't got to worry about that. And Jilly has agreed to lead that service next week here. And Stephen has agreed to preach, to bring the Lord's message, shall I put it that way? So share that with you. Share also with you that there is a different kind of future. A, we must make sure that we do nothing to upset the safeguarding national team. We're not subject to the Baptist team anymore, but we are subject to the national team, and we are in correspondence with them at the moment. But also, of course, we've got the matter of the new premises. And I'm told that the letter that I need to share with porter cabin people and the lottery is in the post already to me, stating that we do have that piece of ground. And that is the piece of ground up behind the fish shop there, where there was or is a children's playground. There's another children's playground very close to it, so we will take the place of the one that's not really used much. And that's where our porter cabin will be. So that was going to bring us a lot of tasks. But can I say this, that there are volunteers within the community, within the local residents, many of whom meet with, what's her name? No. Val, yeah, Val Birch. On a Wednesday, they meet here for coffee. They are residents, they're not necessarily Christians at all, but among them and among other residents, there are volunteers willing to help when that centre is opened. So there's going to be a task for us to introduce them to the Lord. We want volunteers, and any resident, if they are sound and, you know, qualified to do the work that we require of them, will be special to us. But they'd be even more special to us, wouldn't they, if we introduce them to the Lord. So we're going to have a mission field right on our doorstep. And also, of course, the people that actually come for the activities run by the volunteers, well, how many of them will be believers? Probably not too many. So we've got, again, another mission field. So there we are. Pray about all this. And what I do need to share with you, if I say that the load is too big for me, what can I say? I'm not saying that the Lord is not with me. I'm not saying that the Lord is not big enough. But I do believe that the Lord is calling me to have a closer team, a team who can tell me if I'm wrong, a team who can take my place if I'm forbidden from being with you for any reason. And so, during communion, I want to have a prayer for four people who I have asked to be elders of this church. Our principles, constitution, if you like, allow the pastor to appoint the elders. But I want to bring their names to you. I want you to pray about them. And we will pray for them, lay hands on them during the communion service today. That's going to be a shock for them. They are Jean McKinley. They are Bruce Barker. They are Brian Beer. And although he says it's on probationary basis, Stephen Hawke. So those four, I have felt led to ask to become elders. And elders have a special responsibility, part of the leadership with the pastor. Now, we also have present with us some of the, what I would call, original members. That would be Rita. It would be Sarah. It would be Graham. It would be Eunice. You've been here a long time. You're not going to get away with... No, I'm sure that, and I know that there are tasks that I'm going to talk to you about, because I think you would be willing to do them. And we acknowledge the service that you have done over all of this long time. So don't think you've been forgotten. Not called you to be elders, but there is a special task for you four, because you've been with us for so long. And anyway, now let's come to the message. And it's one that we do need to take seriously, isn't it? The title, Let Us Pray. The gift of speech is a great blessing if it is used to the glory of God. And James here has a great deal to say about the tongue. And this chapter is no exception. He's already said a lot. But he mentions some of the lowest uses of the tongue. For instance, verse 9, complaining. Being one who's always complaining, that is not a good use of the tongue. The other one in verse 12 he mentions is swearing. That's not a good use of the tongue. When you hear some people swearing and using the Lord's name in vain, it should make us cringe. But James also names some of the highest uses of the tongue. Verse 10, proclaiming God's word. That's a good use of the tongue. Yes. Something we should all be doing, really. Proclaiming God's word, especially to the lost. And verse 13, he says, using the tongue is good for praying and for praising God. And my goodness, we need, don't we, to praise God? Because where would we be without our God? Prayer is most certainly a wonderful and a holy privilege. Just think of God's children. We can come freely, we can come boldly to his throne, and we can share with him all our needs. And seven times in this section, James mentioned prayer. He encourages us to pray by describing four situations in which God answers prayer. So number one, the first one, in verse 13, he talks about prayer for the suffering. And you know, as Christians, we often endure difficulties that are not the result of sin or of the chastening of God. And when we find ourselves in these situations, we must not grumble. We must not criticize other Christians who are having an easier time of it. Nor, of course, should we blame the Lord. What should we do? We should pray, asking God for his wisdom. We need to understand the situation and to use it for his glory. Prayer, it can remove troubles if that is God's will. But prayer can also give us the grace we need to endure troubles and to use them to accomplish God's perfect will. We know, don't we, from the past in this series, God can transform troubles into triumphs. James indicates that everybody does not go through troubles at the same time. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise, he says. And the mature Christian, this is a challenge, the mature Christian knows how to sing while they are suffering. So prayer for the suffering, number 2, verses 14 to 16, he talks about prayer for the sick. I do not think that James gives us a blanket formula for healing the sick. In the three churches that I have been pastor, I, with others, have prayed for the sick. And sometimes, yes, God has given us healing. But at other times, he has not seen fit to heal the person. And I recall one lady completely healed, but about the same time, another lady went to hospital and eventually the Lord called her home. Difficult, isn't it? But what are the special characteristics of this case that James is describing? Verses 15 and 16. The person is sick because of sin. James has described a church member who is sick because he is being disciplined by God. Hence, the elders are called. The person confesses their sin. The person is healed by a prayer of faith. It is not the anointing that heals, but it is the praying. Praying for a divine touch of the Lord Because let's be honest, it's God who does the healing. But what is a prayer of faith? It is, my friends, prayer offered when we know the will of God. When we know it's God's will, then we can pray the prayer of faith and we can expect God to work. Notice, it's not one person who prays, it's the body of elders. There are some practical lessons from this section that we must not overlook. And we see this in Psalm 32, first of all. Disobedience to God can lead to sickness. And this was David's experience when he tried to hide from God his sin. Another practical lesson we need to learn. Sin affects the whole church. And sin has a way of growing and infecting others. We talk about things like the COVID, but you know, sin is also something that grows very, very quickly. Private sin requires private confession. Private sin requires private confession. Public sin requires public confession. And the third one that James gives us, verses 17 to 18, he talks about praying for the nation. James cited Elijah as an example of a righteous man whose prayers released power. Elijah was not only believing in prayer, but he was also persistent. You know, some people do not pray in their prayers. What do I mean? Well, they just lazily say religious words, and their hearts are not even in their prayers. But prayer, our prayer, is the greatest power in the world today. The prayer of a righteous man, verse 16, is powerful and effective. And we do need, don't we, to pray for our nation today. We need to pray that God will bring conviction and revival, and that the showers of blessing will come to our land. Oh, how we need those blessings, my friend. And one of the first responsibilities of the local church, Paul says, writing to Timothy, is to pray for the government leaders. They need our prayers, friends. And the last one that James gives about prayer is prayer for the straying, verses 19 to 20. In the last church in London where I served as pastor for 14 years, when I went back a little while ago, a lady that I knew well, a good Christian, she had great pleasure when her husband, who was of another faith, came to the Lord. She was full of it. When I went back this time, she said to me, "Bruce, he's gone back to his old religion." And we looked at each other and we said, earnest prayer, powerful prayer, and we're going to do it. And I'm praying every day, and so is she, that he will come back to the Lord. It's difficult. While James did not specifically name prayer in these verses, the implication, my friends, is there. If we pray for those in trouble and the sick, surely we must also pray for the brother or sister who wanders from the truth like that man has. To wander suggests gradual moving away from the will of God. The Old Testament term for this is, of course, backsliding. This is dangerous for the person. It's also dangerous for the church, because one can influence another, and so it goes on. Verse 20, the outcome of their wandering is sin and possibly death. We expect unsaved people to sin, but God expects his children, believers, to obey his word. So what should we do when we see this happen? We should pray for the person. We should also seek to help them. And this must be done, my friends, in an attitude of love. And this is something that I had to share with that lady about her husband. Now, you could see that she could have been a bit frustrated by it, but she needed to seek in love what she would do to share with her husband. This does not mean that we sweep the problem under the carpet, but it means that we speak the truth to those that are backsliding in love. James has sought to encourage his readers to achieve spiritual maturity. So here you are. What are our hearts like? Yours and mine. How mature are we? Here I finish with some questions to assist us in a self-examination of ourselves. So be ready, and you all can have a copy of these at the end. A. Am I becoming more and more patient in the testings of life? They're challenging it. Do I play with temptation or resist it from the start? C. Do I find joy in obeying the word of God, or do I merely study it and learn it? D. Are there any prejudices that shackle me? E. Am I able to control my tongue? F. Am I a peacemaker rather than a troublemaker? Do people come to me for spiritual wisdom? G. Am I a friend of God or a friend of the world? H. Do I make plans without considering the will of God? Next one. Am I selfish when it comes to money? Am I unfaithful in the paying of my bills? Do I naturally depend on prayer when I find myself in some kind of trouble? Am I the kind of person others seek for prayer support? What is my attitude towards the wandering brother or sister? Do I criticize and gossip, or do I seek to restore them in love? And the comment at the bottom, don't just grow old, but grow up. We need to grow up in the faith, and you can take away those list of things, which I believe, when I read them, are a great challenge to me. And I'm sure they will be a great challenge to you all. So over to Julie.
Yeah.
Invitation to the Lord's table. Come because Jesus loves us and he died on the cross for us. Come and meet the risen Lord Jesus, for not only did he die, but he rose from the dead and is alive forevermore. Come and bring your concerns and your problems to him and believe that he will deal with them for you. Come like the disciples, ready to do whatever the Lord requires of you. Come with thankful hearts. Come in humility and go in confidence, because Jesus is Lord. Let us pray. Lord, as we come and take bread and wine this morning, We do it truly in remembrance of the great and wonderful sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary for us. We also want to thank you that that was not the end, but as Jesus had promised, he rose from the dead. And we now remember not only one who died for us, but one who is alive forevermore. In his name we pray. Amen. Jesus took the bread, he broke it, he gave thanks, and he said, "This is my body which is given for you." This said Jesus, "Do in remembrance of me." Jesus also took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it," said Jesus, "in remembrance of me." We hold the cups that we might all serve, that we might all drink together. The Lord Jesus died for each one of us. Let us drink and be truly thankful. Yeah. Now I'd be grateful if the four people that I mentioned, Stephen, Bruce, Jean, and Brian, if you'd come and make a circle here, please. Join hands. No, me in the center, that's it. Right. Lord, our wonderful God, we thank you for the way that you have worked in this church right from its beginning. And now, Lord, we bring to you four of our friends. And we ask, Lord, that you would lay your hands upon them. We bring them, Lord, to serve as elders in your church. It is you, Lord, that they will serve. We bring them, Bruce, Brian, Jean, Stephen, lay your hands upon them now, Lord, as we dedicate them to serve you in the capacity of elders of your church. And may all that they do and all that we do now be for your glory and your glory alone. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. We want song still to sing, yes. In Jesus, yes.
The friend we had in Jesus, oh, and we stood I'm
Right, let us join together and say the grace. Jean, do you want to take that?
Oh, yes.
That's that, and that's that one.
Thanks. I'll read it to you.
Yes, oh. They're still in there. Yeah.
Thank you. Grace
to our Lord Jesus Christ,
the love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all and evermore.
Amen.
Welcome, Joe and Petro. This is Joe.